entering into his rest. And I want to plead with you to please make sure you listen and make sure that this word gets into you. Jesus said, if you drink the water I give, then you will not thirst again. So there's the question of, are you drinking the water? It's not just that the water is there, but are you drinking it? He said, if you drink it, if condition. So the water can be brought to you, you may not drink it. And then you'll be thirsting. So let's drink from the pot of our Lord tonight. It will quench every thirst. So we're talking about entering into his rest. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble. Now, when we read the Bible and the Bible uses these words, we should know that God is talking to us. God is telling me this evening that I ought to tremble with fear that some of us might fail to experience this rest that God is talking about. That we need to tremble. Somebody control those kids back then. We need to tremble. We need to tremble. We need to tremble with fear. Some of you might fail to experience it. I mean, when the Holy Spirit uses this strong language, it means the consequence is really there. It means it's something you don't want to happen to you. It's not just used lightly for the fun of putting words. It's a very serious statement there. And then in verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And in verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also, what? Ceased from his own works, as God did from his own. So the Bible says we should be sure that we enter the rest of God. That it's so important that we really make sure that we get there. And then the Bible begins to teach us in Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. You can see this repetition of being admonished to make sure that we get in there. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. He said we should see the consequences upon those who didn't, so that we don't want to enter into their experience. So we should be diligent. We should fear and tremble and be diligent to make sure that we enter into the rest of God. Because he says, if we don't, that will be disobedience also. So what does it mean to enter his rest and not our own rest? Why did he just say rest? Why did he say enter? Enter. Walk into. Get into something. Get into something. Everybody say enter. Why did he say enter into his rest? God's own rest. We can see from the scripture, the picture that God is painting here. It's about a work that already is finished, or a work that God is currently doing. A work that is already what? Finished. Or a work that God is currently doing. So he said that we should cease from our works as God did for his own. Which means this is a finished work. God is finished that work. He's no one working on it. It's something that is totally finished. Completely what? Finished. It's done. And so does not need anybody trying to replicate it, does not need anybody trying to reproduce it. And only God can do that. So it's like something God has already finished doing. He said, I'm done this, I've finished. I've stopped working on it, I'm done. So you enter into what I've done. Cease from your labor. Don't go and try to reproduce what I have done. Cease from your labor like I've stopped. So you too stop. Don't. And the Bible says, we should be diligent to do this. That I should be diligent to do that. So it's about work that already is finished. God has finished it. And so we have to simply accept everything. Done dishes, cook the food. And then you are entering into the rest that the person who did it is providing you. It is the person who did all that work that is providing you that rest. So when you walk into the house, you don't have to do anything. The food is there. Okay. Good to go. All right. We appreciate all of you. This thing is not easy. Sometimes, you know, what hands made can malfunction. And they're all doing their best there to give us the best. Thank you so much for what you do. We love you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, it's about work that is already finished. And like I was illustrating it, you come back to the house, and the house is swept, food is cooked, and on the table for you. You enter, the person that cooked it and did all that, provided you that rest. So God is saying, I'm providing you rest because I have done these things for you, so you don't have to do them again. That's why it's called the rest of God. And so when you come back and you sit down at the table and you are eating, you have entered into the rest. Now, if that person didn't sweep the house, cook the food, do all of that, if you come back, guess what? You do it. You do it. So the person says, when you get there, I've done everything. Enter into my rest. Enter, go and enjoy what I prepared for you. That's exactly what the Bible is telling us. And then God says, supposing the person gets there, the food is cooked and everything, and he goes and carries the food he cooked and pours oil in it, puts more salt, puts this thing. What are you going to say? Are you saying I don't know what I'm doing? But you know, it's the same picture. It's the same picture. It's really the same picture. And you're going to see that that's tempting God. And that's why God, the Bible says, it draws the wrath of God. When we do stuff like that, it's like you've done something, perfected it, and somebody comes and is there ruining it. So in Psalm 50 from verse 1, where David spoke about this thing, and the writer of Hebrew drew from what David said. Psalm 50 from verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Psalm 50 from verse 1, not Psalm 1 from verse 1. Psalm 50. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Oh, King James Version, sorry. King James Version. Wonderful. Because the weather is warm today, so we should read King James. King James Version. King James people, praise the Lord. Your number is so low now. We need to recruit more people for you. God, are you joining them? The mighty God. Okay. Psalm 95. Not 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our what? Salvation. How come David is talking about salvation? Many years before Jesus came. Many years before Jesus came. When the Lord came, he said that David was talking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was a prophet. He was giving word of wisdom about the plans and purposes of God. That's called word of wisdom. So let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Watch how he's presenting God. Presenting God, who he is. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let's worship now and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God. See the train of David, what he's talking about. How he's extolling the virtues of God and who God is. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today now, if you will hear his voice, verse 8, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, they proved me, and they saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved. God said, for 40 years I was grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do, number one, err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 2. Unto whom I swear now in my wrath that they should not enter. Now you can see why the writer of Hebrews is telling the church, you need to be fearful that you don't fall into what they fell into. Because God said, 40 years I was grieved by this. And now I had to swear in my right that this my rest, they will not enter. Now, you know what that means? It means all that food I cooked and the house I swept, they are not going to enjoy it. So you see why the writer of Hebrews is warning the church and say, you must be fearful that you don't get into this experience that they had. That God is saying, you see the rest I gave you because I've done everything, they will not enter it again. They will not enjoy it again. And verse 7 to 10 will tell us, reveals what it means not to enter the rest of God. From verse 7, let's go back to verse 7. Verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today now, if you will hear his voice, verse 8, do what? It says, not accepting what God has done is as a result of a man hardening his heart and refusing to believe what God has done. He said, when God tells you what he's done and you don't want to accept it, you are hardening your heart against God and refusing to be persuaded about what God is saying, about the works that God said he has already finished. Then verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me. He said, all that is tempting me. You are just tempting me. You are provoking me by coming. You won't accept what I've done. You want to duplicate it. You're just calling me a liar. You're just provoking me. You're just tempting me. And then he says, in the days of temptation, the wilderness, when your father stepped in, he proved me, saw my work. Then 40 years long, I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. So it is as a result of people making wrong decisions in their heart that they will not accept the rest of God, what God has provided them. He said, they err in their heart. Now, you can read Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 says, it says, take heed, brethren. See, the same warning that started this thing is showing again. It said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil what? Heart of what? Unbelief. The Bible said they erred in their heart. Their heart is wrong. Their thinking is wrong. Their decision is wrong. They have refused to believe God. It's an evil heart that will not believe what God has told them. If you are a father and your children won't believe what you're telling them, is that the right heart? It's an evil heart. So the book of here in Hebrews 3:12, he said, take heed again, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. That refuses, unbelief is you refuse to believe God, what God has said. In departing from the living God, it kind of separates you in fellowship with God, because two cannot walk together except they agree. And then let's go back to where I was reading in Psalm 95. So he said in verse 10, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that err in their hearts. So people who will not believe God, there are people who err, who have wrong thinking. Brother Obi asked me a very important question. He said, we talk about the heart of man being wicked, and then we talk about, remember I asked that question, then we talk about that God has given us a new heart. God says, a new heart are what? Given to me. He said, is a Christian still talking about the old heart of that is desperately what? Wicked, when he has received a new heart. I said, yes, because what God is talking about is not an organic thing. It's not the heart that surgeons go and work on. It's not a chamber that God says, I have taken this heart out and given you this thing. What he's talking about is your thinking capacity and thinking abilities. That before you were Christian, you didn't have the ability to understand God, because you didn't have the Holy Spirit to interpret him for you. But now that you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit to what? To guide you into all truth, so that you can now know the things that are freely given to you. But then, it's part of the fact that the Holy Spirit is there, your flesh still has its own mind. The Bible calls the mind of the flesh. And you can still walk in that wickedness of the mind of the flesh by choice. You can still make decisions based on your carnal nature. And that mind that is wicked and desperate is the mind of the carnal nature devoid of God. Because by nature it is evil. That's why it is desperately what? Wicked. Because by nature it's evil. There is not, if you read the book of Romans, he said, before you know Christ, you were excused from doing good. That God didn't expect, there's no good. God wasn't expecting anything, because you don't have the ability to do good. So, and that's why Christians still act like heathens sometimes, because they allow the carnal mind to guide their decision. And once you allow that to happen, you are subjecting yourself to that wicked heart and evil heart of that God is talking about, because that's your carnal nature controlling it. But you know, you can have the Word of God renew your thinking, and then you allow the Word of God control your actions. Right? Right? That's why we're committing. And then you are telling a Christian, you can't sack your wife. You say, I'm sacking her. Why? Because she's giving himself to the control of that carnal mindedness. And we not listen to what God is saying. And many times we don't listen to God. Is that true of us? Many times I don't, and many times you don't. So that makes both of us. Neither of us better than the other. So many times we really don't listen to God. We prefer the carnal mind, what it tells us. And it's always desperately wicked. You know why it's desperately wicked? It is based on selfishness. It's not based on love. It's not based on selflessness. It's always based on selfishness. So he says, these people err in their heart. Their heart errs. Why does he err? They have not known my ways. Psalm 95 verse 10. They have not known my ways. They don't know how I operate. They don't understand the things of God. So their decisions is made by human wisdom. Praise the Lord. So what is God referring to when he says your fathers refused to enter my rest? We've seen what not entering the rest means. It means a man that is operating by his carnal mind, that refuses to accept divine wisdom, what God is revealing to him that he has done. The Bible says he errs in his decision, in his mind, in his thinking. because he doesn't know the ways of God. He doesn't know what God is doing. He's ignorant of what God is doing. So he decides, he is guided by his limitation of what his mind, his eyes, his ears can inform him. But what God is talking about is not what comes from the natural realm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, let's look at Israel. You get it. If you don't get it, don't worry. Don't run away. You still get it. He said, their father refused to enter my rest. God came and gave them a land. And you know, the things that God did in the Old Testament is a shadow of what he did in the New Testament. It's a shadow. It's a reflection. It's something that you use to see the real. But that one is a shadow. And so God came and said to them, look at Numbers, no. Hebrews 10:1. Hebrews 10:1. For the law having a what? A shadow of good things to come. So from the when the Bible says the law, it's talking about the age before Christ. That time before Jesus came. That time that Moses wrote those laws for them. Well, that's it, calls that period the period of the law. And after that now is the period of the grace, when Jesus came and brought us grace. So he said the law is a shadow. So now let's look at the shadow so that I can understand what God means to the church. When he's saying the church, you got to enter my rest. Now God came and said to them, I've given you a land. Promised what? Land. The promise is now fulfilled. I've given you the land. So what does that land represent in the new covenant? It represents all the blessings that God gave us in Christ. It's not heaven. The land that God has promised us is, my promises are fulfilled in Christ. So he says to Israel, I've promised you this. I have done it. I've given you what? The land. You now go and possess it. Now let's see how they did. In Numbers starting from verse 1. Now remember, I've given you the land. Is God is saying, I've come and brought all the things you need for you. I've put it together for you. So that is the place it is. You go and now possess it. Now put it against what I was contrasting it with. That you come into the house. Somebody has swept the house. Has put everything you need for you. Everything is in place. So the person is offering you a rest. So you don't have to labor. Just come and take it. God said, I've provided the land for you. Provided what you need for life and godliness. I provided it there. So you just go there and possess it. Now he says to them, I've given you the land. That land flows with milk and what? Honey. Because he's saying you have the food to eat there. You have everything there. I've given you that land. Now, let's see what Israel did. In Numbers starting from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men. It's God that told him. Send thou men. That they may match the land of Canaan. Remember, we used to sing it when we were children. Cana, Cana, Allah, Cana. He said, I've forgotten all that we used to sing about Cana. That we will always go to the land of Cana. Even some people's name is Cana. I don't know whether it's popular in Ecuador, Cana. I'm not sure. Don't quote me. If you quote me, I deny you. So he said, then, that they may serve the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. So I've given you the place, now it's yours. I swept the house, I prepared the food for you. The Lord makes a table, has made a table before us, and food is there. He says, of every tribe of their father shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among them. And then verse 25, because of time. And then they went and came back. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of Israel, children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They said, this is the fruit, oh, it's beautiful. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with what? Milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the all the Hittites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 13. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Let us go up what? At once. And possess it. God has finished the work. Let's go take what he gave us and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able, my friend, to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, in verse 32. And they brought up an evil report, you see. The air in their heart, evil heart of unbelief. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the... Do you see the progressive negativity? They started to say, this is the fruit, flows with milk and honey. And then, but you know, we saw wars and giants. So when these people said, but we can take it, they now wanted to prove that we can't take it. So they worsened the report. They say, okay, let us even tell you people, with the past, we didn't even tell you before. We didn't want you to be afraid. So now listen to what we saw there. If you want to hear, after you tell you, decide whether you want to follow these two people. And they said, verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. If it eats up the inhabitants, how did they see anybody there? You see, the point is that they wanted to counteract what Caleb and Joshua say. So they had to make it really bad. They said, that place, we're not even talking of the enemy. They think it swallows the people that live there. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants. Then they began to talk, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their own. So we were looking like grasshoppers, and they too saw us as grasshoppers. And then see the result. See the great feat that came from their report. But Numbers 14:1. See the awesome feat. And all the people lifted up their voices and began to worship the Lord, right? What did they do? They cried. And the people wept that night, all night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. Can you imagine that? They have forgotten what Pharaoh was doing to them. So, Caleb and Joshua, right? They said, God has prepared the thing. Let's go and what? Possess it. If they show up, we kick them out. They just deal with them, man. Just get the thing. God has finished this work. We're entering his rest. And these people say, no, we can't go. That thing God told us is not what? It's half truth. Say, yeah, there's milk and honey, but what God didn't tell us is that the land swallows up people. Now, if you hear that the land swallows up people, and the people that went there, 12 people went, and 10 people said, we saw people swallowed up. 10. You know what the effect it will have? Is to believe the thing. Numbers 14:5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that served the Lord, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then will we bring bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Let God finish them. They are bread. You know what it means to be bread? They are nothing. Let's go finish them in 1 second. They are bread for us. Their defense is already departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Can we say that together? Fear them. And then I want you to say it one more time. One more time. Come on, one more time. But all the congregation bent stone them. But all the congregation did what? Bent stone them. With what? They said, this thing is gone too far. These guys, we need to kill them. Bent stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared. Somebody shout hallelujah. God showed up in the tabernacle. If God didn't show up, they would kill them. They were ready to kill them. And God showed up in the tabernacle of the covenant before all the children of Israel. Now let's hear God in verse 11. You will see why God, the Bible, the Holy Spirit is warning the Christian. Don't you do what they did. You must make sure. You must. He said, be diligent not to do this thing they did. You will see why in verse 11. So you know what we're talking about is a serious topic. Verse 11. What did he say? And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? Remember what the book of Hebrews said. He said, they provoke me. Remember what David said in Psalm 95? They provoke me. How long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? See, they don't want to believe me. For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with what? Pestilence, and disinherit them. I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old upwards, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Save who? Caleb the son of Jephunneh. And who again? Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they will know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness, how long? 40 years. And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in this wilderness. Now you see why they wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Have you seen why? So God said, until you all die here and your children bury you here, you are going nowhere. Now can you see why God is warning us? The Spirit of God is warning the church. He said, don't repeat what they did. Don't have this evil heart that refuses to enter into the rest of God, to take what God has provided you. Don't, or he said, be fearful not to do that. It will bring you the same result. That warning is serious. Very serious. And so God gives us another day of rest. Remember, that one said, he said Joshua gave them that day of rest because he said, I finished this thing, you people come and take it now. So they didn't enter. But he said, God gives another day of what? Rest. Are you following what I'm saying? Huh? Joshua chapter, not Joshua, Hebrew 4:8. Hebrew 4:8. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore now a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. So he said, that thing that God offered them, that they rejected, he said, there's another one that God is offering. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Said, there's another rest that God his offering. He said, if that rest, that blessing that God gave was the only one, then the scripture cannot be talking of another rest that God is offering. But God is offering humanity another rest. And that's why this book of Hebrews is warning us. He said, you people don't refuse what God has done, like they did. Don't refuse it. He said, if you refuse it, you suffer the same thing. He said, so, he said, we should work hard to make sure that we enter into this rest that God is providing. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Now, let's read from Hebrews 4:11. Are you following me at all? Huh? Now, can you guess what that rest is that God is offering again? Can you guess that? Huh? The finished work in Christ. Say to Israel, what I promised you to your fathers, I swore to them, I have given it to you. I'm done. Now he said, I'm going to give humanity another rest. I'm going to provide them another finished work. Another land where the blessings are. But they have to go in now and do what? Come on. You have to go in now and do what? And when Christ came, the Bible, the Holy Spirit said, all the promises of God is now again what? Fulfilled in Christ. All the blessings of God. All of it. That he has blessed us with all heavenly blessings. Everything we need for life and godliness, he has provided it in this new land, in this new Christ, in this new situation. He has provided it. The land where he gave Israel was a shadow. He said, it flows with milk and honey. Said, I provided you these things again. It's yours. Church is yours. Church is yours. And God has finished it. God has what? Finished it. But you can't sit up there and say to God, there are giants there. You can't sit up and say to God, you see this thing is swallowing people. Because if you say that, you'll be swallowed. Because as a man ticket in his heart, yeah, God said, what you have said is what you are going to have. So after you have spoken, your carcasses will finish here. Because that's what you said. He said, if those two that you said will be prey, they didn't say it. You people say, he said, they are the ones I'm going to bring in there. Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be diligent. Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be what? Diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Can we have that verse 11 in the King James? Let's see what King James says about it. Let us, King James. Or is that this the King James? Let us, verse 4:11. Let us labor. Let us what? Labor. Work hard. This is where you should labor. Therefore, to enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief and suffer the same thing. What does New Living Translation say? So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will what? We'll fall. That's a serious one. You know, don't you joke with the word of God. Because it is here to walk. Whether you like it or not, that's the truth. If God says, make sure you don't get into this thing, it will be your best interest to make sure you don't do it. Because if you do, you suffer the same. So Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Verse 12, for the word of God is what? Number one, living. Number two, what? Powerful. Number three, what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Number four, what? piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked, open to the eyes of him to whom we must give. How come the scripture is talking about, don't you enter into this thing? And then they immediately say, for the word of God. Is it a conjunction? If I'm telling you something, I say, for this, it means I'm telling you this because of this. For this, for the word of God. He said, make sure, be diligent you enter into his rest for the word of God. Quit means entering his rest has everything to do with the word of God. Praise the Lord. For the word of God is living, is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked, open to the eyes of him to whom we give account. What is he talking about? He's saying that God's word, I want you to listen to me, that God's word is the only thing that can correctly diagnose human problem. No matter the depth, no matter where it is, no matter where it's hidden, whether it is from the soul, whether it's from the spirit, no matter where it is, the word of God can reach there and correctly discern what the situation is. Which means God can see everything. God knows all the situation of man. And if God says, I provided you solution, then that's the solution. What he's saying here is the testimony of the word of God is worthy to be believed. Because there's nothing else that can discern the intents of your heart and why I'm doing what I'm doing, why I'm in this situation, why I'm acting this way, why I'm talking this way, why this thing is happening, than God himself and his word. And he said it's powerful, it's living, it's alive. And he said there's nothing hidden from it. So if the word of God in its ability and capacity searches human nature and all human problem and everything and comes up with a solution, then that's the best solution. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? He said, hey, enter into his word, for the word of God is this. Because the word of God is going to tell you these things that God has done. It's going to tell you these things that God has done. It's going to let you know what God has done, because you didn't see that. But it's telling you that the word of God searches everything, knows everything, divides soul, spirit. It's nothing is hidden, nothing. He knows everything. So there's no human problem that God does not understand. And then God has perfected and provided perfect solution to all of them. And that solution is packaged in who? Christ Jesus. So look at Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Go back there. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us, see the connection here now. I'm talking of Hebrews 4 verse 2. I've gone to verse 2. King James Version is what I'm reading. Okay, I can read New King James. For indeed, the gospel was preached what? To us. So you see, it started from verse 1. He said, make sure you enter into his word for the gospel. For the word of God. It's living. It's powerful. It sees everything. Searches everything. Posts everything. Spirit, soul, whatever. Understands everything about humanity. And then the solution is provided. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they had did not what? So the word that God gave them and said, I've given you the land, it is yours, it did not profit them. Did it profit them? It did not profit them. Why didn't it profit them? Because they didn't accept it. He said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they had did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that had it. You see how the writer of Hebrew is drawing from Old Testament refusal to accept God's word and enter into the rest of God and cease from their work, and telling the church that there's a work God has already also what? If you are sleeping, say amen. Now let me tell you something. I want you to hear me. If the devil robs you of this, if he does, I can't help you. I know how much prayer I put into this. If he does, I can't help you. Because this is why we lose. That's the solution. If he does, believe him, I can't help you. And if you let him make this a minor issue for you, I can't help you. If God is giving this kind of warning and you are not sitting up, I can't help you. There's nothing else I can do to help you. If God is saying you, look at what happened to these people and I don't want it to happen to you, make sure you don't do this. If you don't sit up, I can't help you. Believe you me, I can't help you. Because already, you're already operating in that same mindset. The same mindset that they trivialized the word of God, operated in their carnal mind. It's already at work. I can't help you. I'm being honest with you. I can't. Because, and everybody has to live his life. I can't live your life for you. And I can't believe for you. Honestly, I can't believe for you. I know what led me to this teaching. I know why God brought this teaching. I'm not kidding. So we read that Hebrews 4:1 again. I'm not joking here. This is a serious matter we're talking about. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of what? Of it. Verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they had did not profit them. God is telling you why. Not being mixed with faith in those who had it. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 3, you will see that this discussion started from Hebrews chapter 3 down to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. But Christ, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house. If we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope, we are in Christ. Verse 7. That is why the Holy Spirit said today now, when you hear what? His voice. Don't harden your heart. As Israel did when they rebelled and when they tested me in the wilderness. This is chapter 3. He's talking the same thing. Verse 10. Verse 10. So I was angry with them. And I said, their hearts always turn away from what? From they refuse to do what I tell them. They will not believe me. Verse 11. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. In other words, they're not going to enjoy that, those blessings no more. Verse 12. Continue. Verse 12. Be careful then, dear brothers, and what? Can you turn to somebody and say, be careful? Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. See, the same warning that came in chapter 4 is in chapter 3. The same warning. Verse 14. 13. You must warn each other now, every day, while it is still what? Today. Why stay today? Why the opportunity is still there? You must warn each other. This warning is serious. That's what I'm telling. I say, if you don't get this, I can't help you. Because the warning is all over the place. So that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against you. What is that sin? Evil heart of unbelief. And then you, for them. For if we are faithful to the end now, trusting God, just as firmly as when we first what? Believe. We shall share in all that belongs to Christ. That's how it works. Then verse 15. Verse 15. Remember what he says today. He repeated again. So don't forget. Today, when you hear what? Don't harden your heart as Israel did when they... How many times have we had this warning now? Several. Then continue. And who was it who rebelled against God? Even though they heard his voice, was it not the people Moses led out of Egypt? 17. And who made God angry for 40 years? Was it not the people whose sin, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? 18. And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they should never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him, who refused to believe what he said? So we see that because of their what? They were not able to enter his rest. Galatians 5:4. Are you getting what I'm saying? How serious is that? Very serious. You read, if you go home, study the book of Hebrews 3:4. You will see the whole thing being repeated over and warn each other. He said, warn each other. He said, you warn each other. And he said, this is serious. You got to warn each other. As today, stay there. As today is what? Otherwise, you see what happened to them. You are not going to benefit them. All that Christ did for you, you won't see. You won't see one. That's a serious enough thing to say. It should wake us up. Because without those blessings, you're going nowhere. You don't have any other place God places blessing. You don't have any other source of it except through Christ. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5:4. Christ is become of what? No effect unto you. Whoever of you who are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. You got to come back in believing in Christ to be able to assess that thing. And then the last thing I want to show us here. You see, our text, that Hebrews chapter 4, we'll be reading verse 14. See where it goes. See where it goes. I want you to see verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. In these 5 minutes remaining. See where that thing is going. Hebrews 4:14. Quickly. My time is going. Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 4. Not Habakkuk. Hebrews 4:14. See where that thing is talking from chapter 3 goes down to chapter 4. See where it's going. So then, brethren. So then, church. Let's show you one thing that God has provided you. It's access to God. It's what? He has provided it. So don't go and create another one. He says, so then, since we have a great what? Happiness. Who has entered heaven? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. Verse 15. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. Verse 16. So let us come how? Boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. So you see, that thing is saying, let me tell you what to believe. Hold firmly to this, that God has provided you a high priest. And because of him, you can come boldly before. Don't produce another high priest. You are not the one. And you can't produce another one. He is the one. And because of Jesus, you can come. It's a whole family to that faith. Don't. Remember, enter his rest. You don't need to go and provide another high priest. And we try to provide high priest, right? Huh? We try. Because sometimes we think, it's this or that or that. Those are high priests we produce, right? And the Bible said, if you don't enter his rest, you won't enjoy the blessing. Now, when you produce all those high priests we produce them. It is the very thing that will block you from entering his rest. Those high priests. Because God has provided us one. And who is that? Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And their sins and iniquity will I remember what? Verse 18. Now, where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore brethren, what? Having therefore, Hebrews 10, 19. Having, therefore, brethren, having what? Boldness to enter the holiest. Why? By the blood of Jesus. What's the next one? By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is through his flesh. He said, God has already provided us a way to him. He has constructed it. He has finished the work. So you cease in your work trying to construct another one, because there won't be another one. Amen? And having a high priest over the house of what? God. Then what should we do in verse 22? Let us draw nigh with what? True heart, in full assurance of it, having our hearts sprinkled from that evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23. Let us hold fast again to that confession of hope. Who is the hope of our glory? Jesus. To that confession of hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Listen to me. You know when Jesus died and he was buried and he rose. Listen, I want you to listen. I will show you this one. You know why the Bible is talking about high priest and the blood? When Jesus rose, when he was on the cross and he said, it is what? Finished. I told you, it was the end of the Old Testament priesthood order. Because now the curtain in the temple was ripped into two. Right? Why was it ripped into two? Their ministry was over. Now, Jesus himself became the new high priest. Listen to me. He became what? And the Bible says that every high priest has to present a sacrifice. Is that right? He said, if he were on earth, he too would present sacrifice. But his ministry is more than the high priestly ministry of those people on earth. So he said, because he's a high priest, he has to present a what? Sacrifice. Guess what he did? Church, listen. You see, that sacrifice on the cross needed to be brought to the divine altar before God. That sacrifice, that blood needed to be brought to the altar. Unless the sacrifice comes to the altar, it's not effective. So the Bible says, he being the high priest, took that sacrifice, his blood. Somebody shout hallelujah. He moved into heaven. The Bible says he entered into heaven, not made with hand. He came in there with his blood as our high priest, carried the sacrifice himself. That was what he offered in the real altar, not built with hand. And when he came there, God approved of it. And the Bible says, because of that high priest who have offered this thing, now his blood, that we can now come what? Boldly to the throne of grace. Because God needed a high priest to take that sacrifice to the altar, and nobody could except Christ. So that's why he rose our great high priest. And when Mary wanted to touch him, he said, no, don't what? Touch me. You are still contaminated. Wait, Mary, don't touch me yet. This sacrifice has to what? Go. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Don't touch me. I have to finish this thing. And when he took it, the Bible says he entered heaven with his own blood to obtain what? An eternal redemption. Which means before he went in, it hasn't been obtained. If it was obtained, you can't be doing that. He said to obtain it. So when he came there, the sacrifice was not brought. You don't do sacrifice, you have to bring it to the altar. So the blood was brought to the altar. Pam. And then a redemption was made. So he now came back to earth and said to his disciples, you can now what? Touch me. You can now what? Touch me. Come on. Put your hand here now. Come on now. The redemption has been obtained. Your sins off. Touch it. Touch it. Touch me. You can touch me. We can eat together now. I'm your brother. All is well. Don't clap. Praise the Lord. Did you get what I'm saying? Do you have any question? If I don't know it, not, I didn't say it, the Bible says so.
Yeah. with regards to God has finished his work. And Holy Spirit is telling us, strive, be diligent, labor to enter his rest.
Okay, so how do you conduct?
So what is he telling us?
That's true, absolutely. What he's telling us is to fight your flesh. Is to fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
That's what he's telling us. Because your carnal mind will reject it. And then you are going to have all this information from the devil that will try to fight it. So your job is to fight the good fight, faith, so that you retain your faith. What you're fighting over is not to do the work, it's to believe it. So he said, be diligent, work hard. And he told us this in different, he said, guard your heart with what? Why? Because your faith is coming from your heart. And he says, let my word dwell what? Richly. Why? Because faith comes from it. And he says, don't forget the assembling of yourself what? Together. He says, I've put people among you, teachers, who will teach you this thing so that you grow and be, so you'll be diligent to come and sit down and learn. You are not coming to produce that work. You are learning to know it and build your faith so that you can accept it as true. Now, if you don't know it, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Does it answer? So your diligence is be diligent to study, ask questions, like you ask questions, be diligent to ask questions where you don't understand. It's all part of learning process. You should be free to ask questions so that you get it clear. If you don't, you say, I still don't, it's not sin to say, I still don't get it. It helps the person to know how to explain it to you. You get what I'm saying? Now, if I'm not diligent to study the Bible, I don't read my Bible, I don't pray, I don't come to Sunday school, I don't come to Slap Center, I'm not interested in, you know, sometimes you can't go to all these things. Let's be real. For various reasons. But at least you can do your best. You know, as much as it's within your power, you'll be able to do your best. But you know there are people who are not interested. So they are not diligent. They are not diligent at all. Right? Any other question?
Yes. Pastor, I want.
Uh-huh. Add. So I will take your question, Uchi, and that's it, right? Huh?
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to add, you know, based on the, you know, the example he gave us from the scriptures with the children of Israel, in your question, you know, when, because the 10, they were more on what their senses told them. So about, you know, strive or be diligent to enter into his, to labor, you know, that's laboring to believe God, because you will have your carnal mind telling you what you can really identify with, because we are more in the five senses. So you see, they were thinking about the giants, thinking about, you know, the difficulties that they saw there. But the other two, we are thinking about God, what God said. And it's the same thing with us today. You don't have money in your pocket, or maybe you have some symptoms, and you could more easily identify with those ones. The doctors already told you, and you know they ran some series of tests, and they are telling you this. But the word of God said, you were healed. So how are you going to believe? I mean, it's obvious. It's paining me, I'm feeling it. How am I going to believe that? So it's a labor. And that's what calls for studying until you are fully persuaded that what God said
is true.
Is real.
That's true.
That you are not moved by those things that you're feeling or whatever the doctor is telling you. You are rather moved by what God said. If God ever said it, I don't care how I feel or what I think. So that's laboring. Amen?
Right? That's a bishop. Which I am quick.
I wanted to ask something where you said that after Jesus died, that he had to go and present his blood. Because I'm asking, because in Hebrews it says that he made that sacrifice of his body once and for all, and he said after that he sat down at the right hand of God. Do we have anywhere where it says he went and presented his blood?
Of course, for the Bible, your Bible, they say your Bible, if you go home find it, it says he entered what? Heaven with his own blood. So what does it mean to enter heaven with your own blood? That sacrifice is once, but presentation is also what? Once. And if the Bible says he entered heaven with his own blood, what does it mean? Huh? And the Bible says he came to the altar, not built with a hand, before God. And he did it for us. It's in the same book of Hebrew. It's an assignment I give you. And then the Bible says he went there to obtain an eternal what? Redemption for us. It's in the same Hebrew. I would have told you why it is. I'm not telling you. So go read it for yourself. How many of you have read it before? Okay. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once, having now obtained what? Eternal redemption. He entered with his blood to obtain it.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.